from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
Feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
We will rally around Kurt Warner.
Kurt Warner.
Warner has time. Fitzgerald in the Steeler territory. Arizona has the lead.
Two-time NFL MVP.
They talk about this, the greatest show on turf. Maybe the best offense ever in football.
Super Bowl champion.
Warner to throw. Going deep downfield. Adjusting for it is Isaac Bruce. Touchdown. 73 yards.
Pro Football Hall of Famer.
Not just the NFL Hall of Fame. And I wear that as a badge of honor because without pro football, in all its forms and fashions, I'm not here tonight.
NFL Network analyst.
Because I'm just not sold yet on the Raiders. I'm going Chargers.
Former Chargers quarterback Jim Harbaugh wins his first game as the Chargers head coach.
Radio analyst for Westwood One Sports.
The daytime coughing, aching, stuffy head fever.
Honeylicious.
My wife did perk up when I yelled Honeylicious.
I'm glad she did.
One of my pet names.
That was good.
So.
Oh, wait, what?
Breaking down film every week.
You have to ask yourself all the time, okay, is Caleb Williams a good enough athlete to live in this world in the NFL? Maybe he is, maybe he isn't. We'll have to see that against the best in the world.
Kurt Warner with
insert host's name here
on 670 The Score.
Very excited to have Kurt Warner back on The Score on Bears Mondays. This segment with Kurt is sponsored by Plumbers 911. Plumbing emergency? Call the plumbing professionals available 24/7 at 1-833-PLUM-911. Kurt, thanks so much for the time, man. Looking forward to talking to you every week. How'd you enjoy your first NFL Sunday of the year?
Well, it's always great to be back. Good to be with you guys again on every Monday or most Mondays. I will say, after breaking down the tape, I didn't enjoy it as much as I enjoy football in general. I didn't think there was a lot of great quarterback play from what I've seen so far. I'm about through three-fourths of the games from this weekend, and a lot of frustration on my part just watching the tape and, you know, wanting for better quarterback play, wanting for better vision, wanting for better play designs across the league. And so a little frustrated with that, but it's always great to have football back.
Well, that's interesting. So instead of getting right to Caleb, why do you think that is? Are we seeing rust because of camps? Are we seeing defenses ahead of offenses? Do you have any theories developing?
Well, I mean, I think that you can come up with a lot of different theories. But to me, vision is usually vision, meaning if you know what you're looking at, even though you're going to miss some here and there, it should be more of a normal thing than an abnormal thing. And what I think we're seeing is not a lot of great quarterback play. We've got a lot of guys that aren't quite ready for, you know, that aspect of the game, being able to process, see, know what they're looking at and play the game on time. You know, whether that's development in college, whether that's the fact that we're doing a lot of stuff in shotgun where routes and things aren't, you know, connecting to footwork. And so timing is all off and guys' eyes are in the wrong spots. But I think we have a lot of young guys playing, and there's probably some guys out there that aren't quite ready for, you know, playing the quarterback position from inside the pocket. And they're not as used to that as being an athlete and creating and playing a more simplified system like we saw in college. And I think that showed up in week one, although I will say it wasn't just, you know, young quarterbacks. It wasn't just guys that we had seen done it, that have done it in past years. It was really quite universal. I haven't seen a whole lot of great quarterback play in the games that I've watched up to this point.
Well, Kurt, it's great to talk to you. And, you know, everybody here in Chicago wants to hear your take on Caleb Williams. First off, I would like to ask, like, what were your expectations coming from preseason to game one? And then how did he perform in your eyes with those expectations you had on him?
Yeah, I always temper my expectations for any guy, no matter how good I think they can be, no matter how good they were in college. You understand that it's a jump to the NFL, and very few guys come into this league hitting the ground running and not going through some growing pains or, you know, figuring it out. And so that's the first thing, is that I don't have the same expectations that I think a lot of people throw on these young guys, you know, like Caleb. Oh, man, he could be the next Patrick Mahomes. So automatically the visual for everybody is, oh, I got to see some Patrick Mahomes, you know, even from week one. And that to me is not how I look at it. I think what you saw in college has translated a little bit to what you saw yesterday. And, you know, Caleb, to me, he's got some really good things that he does from a technique standpoint. You know, when he's throwing it to his number one guy, he looks solid. You know, he gets loaded, he gets set, the ball comes out well, he's accurate with the football. But the questions become when number isn't open, and he's got to process from there, process mentally and process physically with his feet to get, you know, to get set up, to work through his progressions, to do it quickly and not have to try to get into that creating world. And so yesterday I felt like, you know, he made some good throws, but he got stuck on his number one guy too much and for too long and wasn't able to kind of work through that. And so, you know, that was, you know, game number one. I think it translates into stats and things that I guess you could see by just watching the game from the big picture. They were fortunate to get out of there with a win because of the plays on the defensive side. But, you know, still a lot of work to be done for Caleb in terms of playing the position and not relying on the athleticism, but relying on the skills that you have to play quarterback.
All right. So, Kurt, that sounds hauntingly and frighteningly familiar to those of us who've lived here and worked through 4 years of Mitch Trubisky and 3 years of Justin Fields, right? So the question is, does he have what it takes to learn to be that anticipatory passer in the pocket and get better at this over the course of even his rookie season? Does he have what those guys did not?
Well, I think it's too early to say, and it's hard to say, you know, because even some guys that seem to be able to do it in college struggle doing it in the NFL because of the complexity and because of the speed of the game. And so I don't know if we know the answer to that yet. You know, one thing that I will say, and, you know, I haven't studied, obviously the Bears are in a new situation with the new OC, and I'll be able to study it throughout the course of the season. But I'm a believer that when you're asking a quarterback to run more pure progression stuff, and so for those that are out there listening, I know we've talked about it in the past, but pure progression stuff is basically a play where you say, no matter what the coverage is, no matter what goes on, this receiver is number one, this next guy is number two, this next guy is number three, and you're going to continually progress that way no matter what the coverage is. And then on top of that, it's more about reading your receiver than it is reading defenders. And so I'm a guy that likes to play, you know, the game in what I call defender read. So I would have two routes, but let's just say one's high, one's low, and I would read the defender in between them saying, okay, are you going to cover the high one or the low one? And the timing of both of those throws is exactly the same for me, because I'm reading that defender. When I get to the top of my drop, that defender tells me where to go. I'm reading one and two at the same time. In pure progression, you're coming back and really looking at your receiver to see if you think he's open at the top of your route. So then, or the top of your drop. So when you get to the top of your drop, you're on number one, If you decide he's not open, then you have to work to number two. Then you have to decide that guy's not open. Then you work to number three. And so with that pure progression stuff, it lends itself to what I was talking about with Caleb, where I felt like he was coming back and looking at his number one guy to see if he felt he was open and was getting stuck there longer than I would like to see him stuck there. But some of that becomes, you know, a natural part of playing in pure progressions, because instead of looking at that defender and being able to decipher and get through your reads quicker, you're stuck on one guy. You're trying to decipher, is he open? Am I there a little bit early and now I'm waiting on him? And then can I quickly progress to number two, three, and four? And can I do it on time where I can actually make those throws and be successful? And so I think there's a lot of pieces is what I'm saying. A lot of pieces right now on who is Caleb? What are his skill sets in terms of what will translate to the NFL? Can he be the guy that we're talking about? And then how much of the system lends itself to helping him be able to read two guys at once, being able to get his eyes on the right defender so he can get the ball out quicker and feel more comfortable with that sort of stuff are questions that, you know, still are to be answered as we see this with more time.
Do most young quarterbacks, the young quarterbacks now, like is Jaden Daniels doing that same pure progression stuff? Are they running that stuff for him, or are some of the young quarterbacks getting a chance to learn what you're talking about with reading the defense instead?
I believe there's a lot more pure progression stuff in our league than there used to be. It's not everywhere. You know, we can go back a year ago to CJ Stroud in Houston. They didn't. They gave him more full field reads where see the coverage, find your defenders, get the ball out, and he was great at it, and you saw the results of it. But I do believe there is a lot more of the pure progression around the league, and I'm a firm believer that it hurts the development of quarterbacks, even though it seems like it would be an easier theory. Oh, just go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 every time. You don't have to worry about anything. Just read your guy. But it slows down the processing. And this idea of, is a guy open? Is a guy not open? What's the timing of how long do I get to wait on number one before I have to get to number two? If I'm reading a defender, he's telling me. So first, I feel like I'm in a great position to make the right decision. But then the timing of those two routes is almost exactly the same. So I can be on time. I don't have to worry about hanging on a guy too long, because that defender, if I've got a good concept, should be moving or should be telling me where to go with the football. And so, I think, you know, with a lot of the young, I haven't watched all the young guys, but yeah, I think Jaden Daniel in Washington, they do a lot of that same sort of stuff. It was the same stuff that they did in Arizona with Cliff Kingsbury and Kyler Murray. And so, yes, I think it's running rampant in the league. And although sometimes it can work out unbelievably well, I think on a normal basis, it's not the greatest stuff, in my opinion, in terms of how I like to play the position. And I think it hurts and slows down the processing of quarterbacks in a lot of times.
It's 670 The Score. It's Spiegs and Pat Manley on the afternoon show.
Kurt, I'm a kind of an O-lineman at heart, and I know how important they are to you guys as quarterbacks and understanding protections as well. When you look through that tape, you know, he's got to communicate with the centers. You know, everybody's got to know all 10 positions out there, but especially the center and understanding protections. How did you see he did in the game of understanding the blitzes that Coach Wilson brought from the Titans?
You know, I didn't think it was horrible from that perspective. You know, I think that's, again, a thing with young quarterbacks is getting comfortable, not only with changing protections, but being able to recognize who that guy is that you're hot off of. And again, going back to the pure progression stuff, a lot of times with the pure progression, we're not being hots. You know, we're trying to protect things, and you're trying to beat the pressure with that first throw because you're looking at that first throw every single time. And so, but I didn't, you know, that wasn't something that necessarily jumped page to me when I was watching the tape. Was like, oh my gosh, they can't get the protections right. Oh my gosh, there's free runners all the time. And, you know, I mean, there were definitely some issues up front at times, but, you know, just watching the tape and watching, you know, quarterback play as a whole, because I always like to be very judicious when I watch it. And hey, if a guy misses a protection or they screw it up, I don't blame the quarterback, even if he throws interception or makes a bad decision, you know, you see all of that. Mm-hmm. And it just wasn't something that I looked at and go, oh, Caleb didn't have much of a chance because of the protection. You know, that was a couple plays, but overall, I felt like he had time to be able to do a little bit better processing and getting through his reads. And as I said earlier, was just a little bit stuck on getting back, trying to see that first guy, trying to get it to that first guy instead of really working through things and feeling comfortable doing that.
As a young quarterback, what was it like for you? How much did you lean on the center? Or were you pretty darn good at understanding protections back in 1999 throughout your entire career? How did that progression work for you throughout your career?
Yeah, I mean, let's first say that, you know, when I got back into the league, you know, 98, 99, I mean, I was 27, 28 years old.
All right.
And so I wasn't a guy that was just straight out of college. And I had played a lot of football, you know, even though it was arena and those types of things. But I often tell the young quarterbacks that I work with is that outside of studying our offense in terms of studying the plays, knowing what my answers are, knowing where, you know, my hots are, all of that stuff, the second most important thing that I spent time on every single week was protections. And it wasn't, I wasn't in a lot of systems and I didn't like it. I wasn't trying to solve every answer before the snap. I think sometimes that can weigh quarterbacks down going, okay, try to figure out what the blitz is this time, especially in this day and age, because there's so many good athletes and so many different schemes. It's hard to know where guys are coming from and where the blitz is going to be so I can try to pick it up. What I wanted to know was, who are the offensive line and the back responsible for, and who am I responsible for? So if I'm responsible for the Sam linebacker, I only need to worry about the Sam linebacker. You can walk up the mic and the will and you know, jockey the safeties around and all of that stuff, and it doesn't mean anything to me. I knew where my eyes needed to be. Sam linebacker, he didn't come, great. I should be good. You know, I should know where to go with the football or work. If that Sam comes, where's my hot? Where's my quick throw? How do I beat him with the play? And so I was so much about playing the game fast after the snap and not trying to solve everything before the snap because I had the answers. Now, if I knew without a doubt they were bringing the Sam and I wanted to slide the protection, great. I always had the ability to do that, but I wasn't slowing myself down trying to answer all of this stuff. To me, it was about building in answers in the play, building in answers with quick throws, knowing if the Sam's the hot in this situation, I'm going to have a couple options if he comes to beat him with a throw. And that played to my strengths. It allowed me to play fast. And that was my goal every time out. And it's why I studied those two things more than anything else. Because I do think that's a hard thing to do. It's a hard thing to ask any quarterback to do, is to solve all the problems. But it's hard to ask a young quarterback to be ready for all of that and then put it on him when the Sam comes and we don't have an answer for it. And you say, oh, you should have slid the protection. Well, I got a lot of stuff to worry about here. If I'm trying to worry about getting that right every time, it's going to be hard for me to really play good football. And so that was more of my approach than trying to do the opposite.
That first start for Kurt Warner in 99 with the Rams, 28 of 44, 309 yards, three touchdowns. You targeted Isaac Bruce 11 times. That was a good idea. And Marshall Faulk ran for 59. And Pat, you were interested in the offensive line that he had to work with
as
well, right?
That's pretty strong. I mean, that's awesome. And like what you said, Kurt, you said you got rid of the ball so quick. We played you that year in 99, I think December or something, whatever, when I was here in Chicago, we played you down there. I'd never seen the ball move like that. Like that just, that blew me away. You saw the matchup, like Barry Minner trying to cover Marshall Faulk, you saw it right away. Boom, here you go, Marshall, do your thing. And that to me, to watch you, and I was a young player in my second year, to watch you operate that way, that's when you set a standard to me. That's what quarterbacks are supposed to look like. And that's what I've wanted for Justin Fields, Mitch Trubisky, and obviously want that for Caleb Williams. But, you know, I you can't answer this. Can he get there? But what you kind of see from him, are you encouraged?
Well, I mean, I'll just say I've seen some good things.
Okay. You just got to make us feel better here in Chicago, Kurt.
He didn't get rattled, well, Kurt. Okay. He didn't seem to get rattled. He didn't give the ball away. We're taking solace in that today, that he didn't seem to crumble.
I mean, it's one game. Like, let's give him some time.
Right.
You know, like there's a lot of pressure. There's a lot of expectation on him. And so it's one game. you know, all I can go off of is what I saw in the game. So if you're asking me with what I saw yesterday, if that's a great quarterback, the answer is no.
Right.
But that doesn't mean he doesn't have all of that ability. And he's just got to get more comfortable. And I think we knew that would be part of it. You know, so much of his game in college was creativity. You know, if you don't see it with your first guy, maybe your second guy, go create. I'm not sure he's a good enough athlete at this level to live in that world. He's going to make some of those plays, but he's not going to run around for 5 or 6 seconds at this level. I mean, we saw that yesterday. A couple times he tried to make some moves and run around, and they got him. They caught him. And so that's not going to be the world he has to live in. So that's where the growth has to happen. This is what you've always done. You're not going to be able to do that as much at this level. So now you've got to learn how to change game with it. And again, some of the things that, you know, you were talking about with me back in 99 is we had answers.
Yeah.
I understood the answers. I understood the timing. That's another thing that I saw all throughout the league that I believe comes from a lot of the college game and probably even the high school, where everybody lives in shotgun now. And so shotgun drops don't connect to the routes like drops under center. So, you know, for, again, for those listening at home, when I'm under center and I'm getting the ball, as soon as I say hut, hike, whatever, I'm getting the ball, I'm taking a three-step drop that connects with a three-step timing of a route on the outside, a hitch, a slant, a quick out, right? When I take a five-step drop, that's usually connecting with something from 10 to 16 yards down the field. So I've got the ball in my hands. I can develop that timing. I know what that five-step drop timing is. Throw it. Seven steps is that next level. When you get in the shotgun, there is not that same sense of timing, because when I say hut, how's the ball get back there? How fast does it get back there? How many steps do I take once the ball is in my hand? And so you're seeing a lot of quarterbacks that are set too early. So you get set too early. Now, once you're set as a quarterback, you feel like you should be throwing it.
Mm-hmm.
So if I set too early, now I'm getting through my reads too fast, right? I'm not seeing what I need to see. I'm trying to move around and find somebody open, as opposed to if I take another second, now I get a chance to fully see what the defense is doing. I get to read it out. My guys are coming out of their routes. I can throw a timing back to what we did in 99. And so it was tying feet to the routes. You know, the other side of it, if I'm taking too deep of a drop, now I'm missing things that are popping open right away because I'm not ready to throw it. Now I'm playing catch up. So I see a lot of those issues around the league where these guys haven't developed that sense of timing in their mind so they can connect their feet to it. And we're playing too fast or we're playing too slow and we're missing huge opportunities on the field because of it. And so another element, a guy like Caleb and a lot of guys around the league has to get better at. The coaching has to be better at developing that timing, or, you know, defenses are just too good, right? If a guy's open at the top of his route and you take an extra second, by the time you throw it, that defensive back is going to be breaking on it and breaking that football up. You got to anticipate that. You got to see it, and you got to be ready ahead of time. And there's a lot of issues there with that.
Mm.
Again, some issues I saw with Caleb in that regard. And so there's a lot of things. And again, for those in Chicago, it wasn't just Caleb. It was all over the league. He's a rookie. He's in his first game. So I don't think it's time to panic by any means. It's just there has to be a lot of growth made with Caleb and a lot of other quarterbacks in the league if we're going to get a chance to see all of that physical potential of his and what he can be at this level. There's got to be growth in some of those other areas.
Kurt, all I'm going to be doing now is thinking about pure progression versus what? Defender keys? Is that the other way of reading?
Yes, I call it a full field read, meaning your reads change based on looking at the full field. This corner's off, this side they're rolling, they're playing cover two, they're playing cover three. And then, yes, defender read.
We're
trying to put a defender in conflict on every play, right? Whatever sport you've ever played, if a team's playing a zone coverage, the goal is what? Overload the zone. If they've got two, we want three. If they've got one, we want two. And, you know, the idea is, okay, right, you have a two-on-one in basketball. What's the idea? I'm going to go to the basket and score unless that defender comes and guards me. then I'm going to throw it to the other guy.
It seems a lot simpler, doesn't it, Pat?
Yeah, that's what Kurt. It's funny because you got the smart ones and the great ones like you. You make it sound so simple, but it is the hardest position in all of sports.
Well, and again, no question. I think it's the hardest position in all of sports too. But if you have a good concept, I always use the term: make the game as simple as possible, as quickly as possible. So if I know where I'm trying to attack on a particular play, I've got that high and I've got that low. What I need to do is I need to find the defender in that zone, right? And that's where it's simplified. If I know there's only one defender in that zone that can cover the high and the low, I just need to get my eyes there as soon as I can get my eyes there and read him. And that's where it can seem easy, because that's what I'm saying. If you get your guys to that guy, he can't be right, right? He's either got to go high or he's got to go low, as long as I make the right decision. The question becomes understanding all the concepts you have on a particular play, and against what coverage do you go to that particular guy? To what coverage do I go to the other side and read a defender on the other side? That's where it gets more complicated. Mm-hmm. But if you can get your eyes in the right spot on a good quality concept, the game really isn't that complicated, because it does come down to one guy or two guys. Maybe I got to read a safety first and then an underneath linebacker or underneath player. But knowing where your eyes need to start and where they need to go is the key to playing this position from that perspective. And that's where a lot of these guys just have to get better. And maybe it's some coaching, right? Mm-hmm. Trying to figure out how to make it simpler for these quarterbacks through the coaching, right? Little keys. Hey, this concept over here is good if the corner is off position, right? I don't care if you know what the coverage is with all 11 guys. Is the corner off? If the corner's off, read the outside linebacker. If the corner rolls, now I need you to go to the other side and read the hook defender on the other side. So trying to create little keys like that that can simplify those aspects of the game for these young quarterbacks.
Kurt Warner's making us all smarter about quarterback play in the National
Football League. Hall of Fame player, Hall of Fame coaching right there,
yeah,
guys.
Yeah, right there. And it's only week one. All right, Kurt, we'll follow this through every week as we
hold on. Before we let him go, I've got to give you one connection. Please, if you talk to Jeff Robinson anymore or anything, just please tell him I said hello. I love that dude. Looked up to that guy a lot. Thank you.
I love Robbie. He was awesome for us. So we'll do, guys. Great talking to you, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, right. Kurt. Yeah, tell him that Pat Manley and Tony Wise say hello, because that's how we do things around here. Let's react to that. Texters and listeners were loving it.
It's unbelievable.
Let's follow through on that when we come back on 670 The Score.
You know,
from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price too.
Ugh. I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever. And the worst part? Hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
If your day sounds like...
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
you're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
All I can go off of is what I saw in the game. So if you're asking me with what I saw yesterday, if that's a great quarterback, the answer is no. Right. I'll just say I've seen some good things.
Okay.
Kurt Warner just made all of us a hell of a lot smarter. If you missed that segment and you love learning about quarterback play, as I think we all have over the past 8 years here in Chicago, watching young quarterbacks not rise up and hoping like hell we've got one that will now, make sure you seek it out. He talked a lot about the pure progression system of teaching a quarterback to look for his first read, then his second read, then his third read. And I mean, I've spent most of the time the last several years thinking that's basically how everybody does it. And what he's saying is that still now, some teams and some offensive teachers are still seeing, looking at the full field defender keys, the way that he learned it with Martz and the way that Bobby Slowick did it last year with C.J. Stroud. Just read certain defenders. Have a high-low, two targets that are the same timing. Are you going to throw to the high or are you going to throw to the low? Just look at the defender, and once you read the defender, then you know which one you go to,
yep.
Which sounds a hell of a lot simpler than seeing one, then moving to two, then moving to three. And he's saying that it's easier to do that. So it's fascinating. Pat, some of the textures, here's one. I'm totally being serious right now. I'm never going to watch Caleb the same way after listening to all the cues that Kurt is talking about. Here's another. That was an incredible segment. Here's another. Werner's awesome. I can't wait to hear him every Monday. Here's another. I'm sitting here in my car getting goosebumps listening to Kurt Werner explain the position and replaying some of the greatest show on turf highlights in my head. So listeners were right there with you and me. That was something,
yeah,
wasn't it?
We just all got smarter. And what's interesting about players like him, the great ones like him, that's the reason why he has a gold jacket. He uncomplicates it, right? He just put it out to us, the layperson, and now you understand it way better. And the great ones could do that on the field as well. You know, I'm talking about like Urlacher, when you listen to him talk football and understanding offensive formations and the only things they can run out of this formation. Yes, he was bigger, faster, and stronger than everybody else, but his brain got him there faster because he knew what was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what Kurt just explained to you, that post-snap, this is going to happen, this is going to happen, I'm going to the ball here. I mean, that guy would get rid of the ball so quick, and he would be the right decision probably, what, 85, 90% of the time? And, you know, you talk to Olin Krutz on these airways. When he talks football, we all get smarter. So the game slowed down for him, and he understood what was going to happen in front of him, and he had a way he was going to do things, and those are the greats. Those are the guys that are great, and I just loved listening to him, and we just all got smarter.
So why the hell is everybody trying to force this pure progression system if it's really challenging?
What do I always say?
For young
coaches have bigger egos than players.
Oh, God, dude.
And I truly believe that, and that's part of it. Not changing your system to what a player can do easier or better. And sometimes it works. A pure progression can work. But I think if you, what he just said to us, and now I'm a full believer in it, if you have a young quarterback, do it his way.
Well, I mean, what's fascinating is, like, if you're coming from the Sean McVay coaching tree,
mm-hmm.
which so many of the offensive coordinators are around the NFL, and it's the same as the Kyle Shanahan coaching tree, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there's always been this thought, well, it's the same stuff. It's the same stuff. Maybe the plays are the same stuff. Maybe the design is the same stuff. Now I want to find out, and I'm
yes.
telling you that I will find out
yes.
how many of them are teaching pure progression for their quarterback, and how many of them are teaching this full defense keys. Because guess what? Bobby Slowick, who's teaching yes. the way that Kurt prefers it to be taught, came from Kyle Shanahan.
Yep.
So he is of that same ilk. Wait. So there could be a difference. And now I'm wondering, is Brock Purdy, who was so great right away, and Kyle Shanahan, are they teaching the timing way with the full defense keys as opposed to the pure progression? Because, or is Brock Purdy just great at pure progression? I don't know. I'll
find out.
Did you
watch the Rams game last night?
Yes, I did.
That's Matthew Stafford and Sean McVay. How quick was the ball getting out?
Unbelievably
that, so,
quick.
Yeah, that to me is what it looks like, everything that Kurt was describing, that's how that offense runs. You know, it didn't look like a whole lot that he – I think there are going to be some plays where you go through progressions, but how many times – and with their O-line battered up, banged up
– yeah,
did he just get rid of the ball and go to the open guy every time? So he knows – and Stafford to me is one of those quarterbacks where I wanted Justin to get to, I wanted Mitch to get to, and hopefully Caleb gets there. Pre-snap, they've kind of got it, right? And they just know where the ball needs to go. And what Kurt was talking about, it just makes it easier on the quarterback.
Yeah. I mean, Kurt just set a template for us for the whole year. Mm-hmm. And we'll talk to him every week. And as I say, I will do the research and we'll figure out who's teaching it this way and if it's changeable and if it's not. And what you said about the arrogance of coaches is frightening.
I love coaches. Trust me. I know Wani's listening, but they still have bigger egos than players because they believe in their system. They want to run their system.
Well, guess what?
And they've been successful in their system, and some players just don't fit.
Well, because some of them have arrogance of it having worked because they happen to have Pat Mahomes.
True.
Matt Nagy is
true.
Like, this works because I just saw Pat Mahomes
but
do it.
But they also have great schemes that they can dial up, but they don't have the players. But they want that scheme to work, and that player can execute it. So that's my opinion. I could be wrong. I'd actually love to talked to Coach Juan said about that. I have talked to other coaches about it, but to hear his opinion about
mm-hmm.
it. And I just feel like the guys upstairs, the way I would say it, have a little bit bigger egos than players.
Yeah, and I will say one other thing that Kurt mentioned, which I think is true, is that Caleb is not quite a great enough athlete to escape and create on this level as much as he did in college.
And you remember the play in the preseason where he got the guy on the right side. I think it was a throw to Rome where he was out of bounds, but he got the guy to freeze and was able to get around him. And I don't know who the guy was. He had to be a backup or something. But you're not doing that to Aiden Hutchinson. You're not doing that to Rashawn Gary up in Green Bay.
Yeah.
So he's learning that. And he couldn't do that to Tavondre Sweat, who's coming after him at 360 pounds.
Yeah.
It's a different speed going against these NFL starters that didn't play in the preseason.
Yeah, Kurt just freaked me out a little bit. I'm not going to lie. Let's hear from some of the other guys. Some of them are new. Some of them are not. And we're going to talk about them, but let's hear from them too. Some difference makers in that Bears win yesterday. It's Spiegs and Pat Manley on The Score.
Levis in trouble and throws an interception in the flat. It's being returned for a touchdown by the Chicago Bears. As he tried to throw it away, Levis pitched it forward. Stevenson caught it and raced into the end zone, and the Bears have the lead. What a tough mistake for the young quarterback.
Cannot do that. I mean, clearly, you just cannot do that.
Will Levis, number 8, Parfum de Mayonnaise.
Come mayonnaise on your chin.
What?
Mayonnaise.
Welcome back in on 670 The Score. It's the afternoon show with Spiegs and Tanny and Shane and the great Patrick Manley today. Let's hear from some of the other guys, Pat. There's one dude I want to talk about. We didn't hear his voice after the game, but I bet we will pretty soon, maybe even later in the week. But the guy who made that play, Tyreek Stevenson, is a fun and confident dude. We will have his cornerback partner, Jalen Johnson, on the show at 5 o'clock every Bears Monday. But let's hear Tyreek from postgame. He made the big play with that pick six that swung it big time.
How do you describe a win like this where the offense doesn't score a touchdown, but you still find a way to get it done?
Shit, they are kickstand, we their kickstand. You know, it's going to be games like this. It's the NFL, you know, and anything happen at any moment. So the fact that they still like went out there with their head up and gave us the energy, we went out there and did our job.
And what's the team about this team despite the struggle to find a way to win?
Yeah, this is one hell of a team. A team full of dogs, you know. At some point, it's going to be the offense helping us out, you know. So it is what it is. We still got the win. I'm happy for the guys, but it's back to the drawing board Tuesday. I think we had to sit back and realize who we are, stop playing for the hype, stop playing for everything else around us, and just realize that we put in work, and we put in work just for a moment like this, you know, situation football, situation with things, and we just came out there and dominated.
With the punt block, how did you feel momentum swing on that play?
Momentum definitely swung. We knew we was going to block it all week, just the way we prepped for it. You guys, most of the guys, we already knew what it was. And we just ain't know who's gonna do it.
Why specifically did you think you knew you were gonna get put on?
Just based off film and based off the actions this punter and the line and everything had over the last few years. See, our coaches go 10, 15 years from now. You feel me? They go all the way back to find out what we need and just to show us to give us that edge that we need.
Levis got away with flipping the ball earlier in the game.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of know that looking at it with film, you might throw it up like that?
I honestly didn't expect him. Our main thing was get him off the field, get a ball back to Kadem and let him do his thing. And, you know, if he's going to make dumb decisions like that, we're going to make him pay for it.
That was so satisfying to see Will Levis, after the dumb decision that Tyrique Stevenson flat out calls it, on his knees and putting his hands to his head, like, what have I done? As Tyrique goes down the sideline.
Yeah, thank God for that moment. But the thing, listening to him talk that way, I want my quarterback to be confident. Like, I love listening to Jalen Johnson, you guys, on Mondays at, what, 5 o'clock is he on?
5 o'clock.
5 o'clock Central. Central, 5 o'clock Central.
Thanks, Pat.
All right, you bet.
Nailed 6 it. Eastern, 3 Pacific.
Keep going. What about Spain or, like, Japan?
4 Mountain.
Okay.
Unless we're in daylight savings time.
All right. But I love hearing that confidence. I do. That's a position, when I was in the locker room, if Charles was chirping or anybody in the corners were chirping, receivers can do it. Like, you know, if you're that guy, you just know they've got it going on and they need to play that way. And I feel like they play better. I just feel like whenever I heard guys chirping like that, they had it going on. All right. If they got burned a couple times, they wouldn't talk as much. But to me, as a former player with those guys, I loved when they were talking that way. That means they had it going on.
And they got to believe that to do what they're doing.
Yeah. Cause they're going to get beat. He got beat for a touchdown. He made a mistake. He should have turned his eyes around and made the play, but he was late getting there. But then he comes back, and that's what a DB does. They have that ultimate confidence.
Yep.
And he comes back, and it was kind of a gift to him, but he has to be in the right position. And that's what it comes down to, but that confidence I love.
Yeah, here's Jonathan Owens, as Adam Amin called him, Mr. Biles, on his punt block. As it's a special teamer extraordinaire, Pat Mattingly, you must have been loving the work that Richard Hightower was doing yesterday.
But real quick, just hearing what he said about game planning those guys. Well, he was game planning the right side of their punt team because that's what he came after every time, and it worked out.
All right, so here's Jonathan Owens on the play. Daniel Hardy got the block, and then Owens scooped it up.
Oh man, this is definitely up there, man. I mean, someone told me it's the first Bears touchdown of the season, so that was pretty dope to hear. But man, it's just home opener, you know, and just to hear that crowd and see the sideline and you coming back and, you know, your guys dabbing you up and hitting you on the head and everything. So it was just super exciting, man. I couldn't explain. It didn't feel like real life.
You got to look back. Like, wait, are there no flags? This is a touchdown. All right. He later said that he was like thinking about his celebration, but the guys were on him too quick, and then the moment was gone.
Yeah, it changes. I mean, you know, some people argue there's a guy here that works here that doesn't like the word momentum, but it changes the feeling on the sideline. It totally changes that feeling.
Let's pause right there, because every single player and coach talked about that as changing the momentum.
Yes.
And in a game like football, there's no question
there's a little extra energy.
So you tell us, as a player who's been a part of special teams touchdowns from Devin Hester.
I'll just say that what it is basically is simplified. Wait, we got a chance. They were getting their blank kick the entire game, and then all of a sudden that happened. You're like, wait, we got a chance. So everybody starts looking around and like, all right, let's see what we can do. Instead of sitting there and sulking and be like, man, they got another first down. All right, we went 3 and out. So it changes. You're like, wait a minute. All right, that's only 2 possessions we're going away from taking the lead. I mean, anything from like when Alex Brown would block a field goal, you would get that feeling like, all right, that's 3 points off the board. Let's go put 7. That's a 10-point change. So you feel that. Obviously, with Devin doing his thing, we got lucky to play with that guy to change the game and change games in general. But yes, there is a momentum change. On any block, any field goal block, punt block, you definitely feel something that like, hey, This is we got a chance.
I mean, it's just so obvious that like the quality of athletes are at such a high level that any little extra emotional boost that makes you play with that extra confidence and extra edge means the world.
You're stealing a score. You know what I mean? You're not expecting that going into the game, but you're stealing a score. So just there is that part of the momentum thing where you're just like, wait a minute. All right, we're back into this thing.
So the guy we don't have sound from that I want to hear from at some point this week is Daryl Taylor, because, oh my goodness, the pass rusher from Seattle seems to have been an incredible acquisition. I heard Burnsy and Lawrence talking about he's already worth the trade. He's already worth the trade.
He's got 2 sacks already?
The impact he made on one game.
Yeah.
But seriously, this is a dude with something to prove. He's in a contract year. It's a crowded defensive line room, and here he is. He told Brad Biggs in 10 Thoughts this morning that
when you see the quarterback with the ball and you're closing in, it's like seeing $1 million. It's like seeing $1 million just sitting there. Like, he was just that excited. And Bigsby, of course, said, well, you know, that's a pretty good analogy for what you're going to be looking at, hopefully, at the end of the year. And he's like, yeah. So they traded for a motivated dude who is a pure edge rusher with speed. That is a component for his size as an edge rusher that they did not have.
And he's got to be excited to be here. He's got Montez Sweat on the other side. I think it's got to be difficult to be traded at the end of the preseason when you've put all that hard work in, think you're going to be with your teammates. You've heard all your goals all year that long with Seattle and all that kind of stuff. The next thing you know, you're traded. But then he's like, wait, I'm going to the Bears defense? I know these guys.
Yeah, I know
who's on this team.
Uh-huh.
They got a chance. They've heard all the hype from Caleb Williams and they're going to be a playoff team potentially or whatever. But I think he's excited to be here. I do think the contract situation is part of it as well. But you got to be excited to play for that defense. You know, you watch other Sunday games, right? As a player, you're watching all this stuff. You read the other stuff. And you're like, I can't wait to get on that team.
And, you know, I did a thing the other day with Eddie from Barstool. Frumberstool is his last name. We figured that out. It used to be Frumberstolini, but then it got changed at Ellis Island, the family name. So he, but, you know, we did a thing where we were guessing, like, who's going to be second in sacks on the Bears? And I think we all went with Austin Booker.
Mm-hmm.
Shane, did you go Austin Booker? I think you did.
I would have gone to DB.
He did go Austin Booker.
Yeah, how about you? Did you go Austin?
I went Kyler Gordon.
Oh, you went Kyler Gordon.
I would have gone to DB.
Yeah.
Was Brisker led it 2 years ago?
Yeah. But how do you not think it's going to be Daryl Taylor at this point? If he's a speed edge rusher like that on the other side, and if he's out there with Montez.
Dexter got one.
Yes,
Von Dexter got one.
Well, you don't know Daryl Taylor like that, so don't put that out there.
His last name is Taylor. I enjoyed Eddie Frumberstool.
You can call me Dan or you can call me Burnsy, but you don't know me like that.
Yeah, well, you know, we know Mark Grody like that. He's the Shark, and he's coming up next with Hot Bears Tape. Is he the Shark? I think, or is he a rhino?
No,
I don't know what he is.
We'll talk about it.
He's
in the
a
break.
Dolphin.
That's not the bit.
I'm sorry, momentum's not real. On the score.
Momentum is tomorrow's starting pitcher.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever. And the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Nore Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nore Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nore.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.